Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on another Sunday. I tell you what, in the month of July, we finally got to full-blown summer, and the way it sounds in this next week with the heat as I look on my computer and also, too, listen to KBOE 104.9 FM, it looks like it's going to be a hot one out there this next week. So I encourage you, even today, as you're out and about, you're doing family festivities or doing some things outside, make sure you get enough liquid. Drink water, water, water. That's going to be key for all of us as the heat and the intensity of the summer continues. So I pray that it shows you just a good time with so many things that are going on in our area. I just can't hardly believe here in the Oskaloosa, Mahaska County that the fairgrounds that they're going to be having, the fair starts. It's unbelievable to me that that could be beginning so quickly and so fast. And when the fair starts getting here, it tells me that we are midway in the summertime. But I hope you enjoy all those great things out there. At the fair, if you're here locally, just a lot of good stuff. And again, I just want to thank you so much for listening. If you're driving down the highway, that you've tuned us in, I pray that it's a good time, something enjoyment as you take the next 30 minutes as we dig into getting a better understanding of what God has for us and the teaching. But before we do, I just have a few things I just want to touch base with you. This Sunday night here at Debbie Celebration Barn in Oskaloosa, we are having an incredible event. We're calling it the Vital Gathering. It's just it's going to be from 5 to 7 o'clock. We're going to have food at the very beginning. You're not going to want to miss out on this event because it's going to be just a great time. And the other thing that we're really looking into is allowing for presence. We're going to have an incredible worship band that's going to be there that I pray that we can go into an experience of presence with the Lord himself and just sit in those moments. And also, too, it will give an opportunity to invite somebody who may or may not go to church for whatever reason it may not be, but they would go to something at Debbie's Celebration Barn. And I'm going to give Debbie and Denny a big shout out. Thank you for their generosity in helping us out with that event as well. Again, it begins from 5 to 7 o'clock. Food at the beginning. We'll have a worship time. I will give a brief teaching that night, and then we'll have some fellowship afterward. Bring the whole family. Everyone is included. This is not just a men's event. This is for the family, a family event, so that we can all truly understand and get a glimpse of what it means to have an understanding for God. And if you want to go just deeper, or maybe you've got some questions and you don't know who Jesus is, what a great opportunity for you to come to this event. Again, that's 5 to 7 o'clock this coming Sunday night at Debbie's Celebration Barn. Also, too, the following week, which is next Saturday morning, we are having devotional and donuts. If you, from 7 to 8 o'clock at our Vital Ministries building, that's at 116 A Avenue East. Just a great time for men. From 7 to 8 o'clock, we're going to have donuts there. We'll have Yarzma, and just great donuts there. You know how, if you've never had donuts from Yarzma Bakery there, we live in an area that has outstanding. You're going to want to come to that. And we'll also, too, I'll do a brief teaching, a thing as we focus as men, what it means to be stronger. Again, that is next Saturday at the Vital Ministries at 116. It's literally right across from the First Christian Church, or Caddy Corner from Yarzma Bakery. Everybody knows that destination. So again, that's from 7 to 8 o'clock next Saturday morning. It gives you another opportunity to simply plug in. We also, too, we send out devotionals 6 days a week. We have 5 different writers on the men's side. You can go to vitalministries.org and check that out. And just some great inspiration for your daily time with the Lord. And the other opportunity that we have, my wife also writes for the women Monday through Friday. And she does a wonderful job. And just for you ladies out there that want just to get a nugget of inspiration, she writes, the Holy Spirit is using her incredibly in that. So I encourage you to be a part of that. But today we're continuing our new teaching series about the freedom in Christ. If you remember last week, we jump-started this new teaching series about having freedom with God the Father. We discovered that the extent of God's love for his people, that he lavished his love on us by sending his son, Jesus Christ. And lavish means just nothing that is held back. He profusely placed upon us. And that's amazing just when you think about the word. We don't hear that word lavished often, but that is what he did. One song that comes to my mind that's popular today, and oftentimes in church you'll hear it, and you also hear it on the Christian radio. It's the song is just incredible. It's called Good, Good Father. And in the song, in the lyrics, I if you haven't heard this before, and you should Google it, watch the video. In the beginning of the song, the lyrics go like this. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you are, but I've heard the tender whispers of the love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. Isn't that incredible when you think about that in the middle of the night? That God is always with us. And yes, there is 1,000 stories about him, but the tender whispers in the middle of the night are incredible. I've experienced those. But what's even more so is the whispers tell me that he's pleased with me and that I'm never alone. And oftentimes we hear other voices of telling us of what we're not. But that's not the God the Father we serve. Yes, let us know when we are walking in sin. But the good, good Father I know always gives us tender whispers. And then also in the song lyrics, it says that you're a good, good Father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. And you tell us, and it's who you are, who I am. Isn't that incredible? I encourage you to listen to that song. It's just without exception, just an inspirational worship song that I believe really helps us to get a glimpse of what the good, good Father, the Father in heaven who loves his people. But again, that just gives us a glimpse, and that God the Father is so good that he sent his Son, that we can truly get a better understanding and how to experience true freedom in Christ. That's what we'll be talking about today. Every person truly seeks freedom, especially in the Western culture and the Western nations. It's considered the highest virtue. Think about July 4th when Patrick Henry, he makes this quote. He says, "Give me freedom or give me death." It's freedom for anyone who is oppressed. People wanting political or even economic freedom. Who doesn't desire that? But is that truly the freedom that we truly seek? The Bible tells us that no one is spiritually fit outside of Christ. Romans 6 goes into great detail, giving us what true freedom is all about, how sin enslaves us and takes away our freedom. But if we look to God, we can be free from the power of sin itself. Matter of fact, in Romans 6:23, it says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that a good verse when you think about that? But the verse before it in Romans 6:22, it says, we can be free from the power of sin, but it will involve you to be a slave to God. Seems like a contradictory a little bit, doesn't it? Being a slave or being free, which is it? To the world, the word slave it's degrading. It shows hardship. It shows inequality. Man, I tell you what, in the culture today, that is the last thing. That's the opposite thing that people want to hear. Everyone should experience equality, no matter their faith, their race, their sex, or even their truth. That's what culture says. But that's not what God is saying to us. That's not what Jesus is experiencing, wanting us to experience freedom with him. But slavery to God means quite a different subject. In the New Testament, we see the word doulos occurring 124 times, which means this, someone who belongs to another. It means bond slave with no ownership or right. Man, it's hard to get your mind wrapped around that concept a little bit, even this morning, to think about how can I truly have freedom in Christ when you're telling me, Mike, that I'm truly going to be a bond servant. But Paul would call himself a slave to Christ. Matter of fact, he opens up with that in Romans 6:1. It literally means he has nothing to offer Jesus for payment of his sin, and that's the same with us. We have nothing to offer Jesus for the payment of our sins as well. Jesus shed his blood on the cross for that payment. This means that we are purchased by his blood. We are no longer living for ourselves, but we are hired by Jesus and we belong to him. Man, this is deep stuff, folks, but this brings us to our first point this morning, which is point number one, you are truly free. John 8:36 says this, So it is the Son that sets you free. You are truly free. Too often, confessing Christians live a life of what I would call more of a servant as to living a life of being a son or a daughter of the living God. We live in the slavery of the sin that entices us. And I want to show you that, what it means by sin still enslaving us, that we're not free in Christ, that we're in bondage to the sin that entices our heart. James 1:14 puts it this way. In this way, but each one of us is tempted when we are carried away by our own lust. I want you to think about how sin entices you. Are you tempted or are you in the bondage of sin itself? It totally destroys the freedom and the expression that we can truly know in Jesus himself. I will have men oftentimes come up to me and talk about the lust of the flesh. They will talk about the enticement of seeing a beautiful woman or a pop-up that might come up on a computer or about something that they shouldn't watch, just as an example. But let me give you an illustration about that I think can kind of make sense a little bit. I enjoy candy, and I especially, and I want to give that as an example of sin, but I have a weakness for the candy, and especially Mike and Ike's, if you've never seen those in the store. They are sweet, fruity, and they give me a sugar high every time I eat a box of those. Whenever I go into a gas station or grocery store, Walmart or whatever it might be, my eye will go to that. It catches my eye. They entice me. Matter of fact, I will usually look for them when I go into those places. Sometimes I'll even go to the point as I buy them, and sometimes I don't. But the issue is I go in looking. I'm tempted, and that sometimes I get carried away by the temptation, and I walk out of the store carrying a box of Mike and Ike's. Now, you might be saying, Mike, how does that have to do with sin? I'm hoping this illustration gives you a little bit more. But after you read James 1:14, comes James 15. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. There is no freedom found here in what I'm just describing. It's only when I go to Jesus and truly confess my sins that I walk in freedom in him. I will go into the Newton Correctional Facility the first Sunday of each month. Matter of fact, I was just in there this past week. And I love those men, and those men love me as well. We can't wait to see each other. Now, bear in mind, these men can't get out. But if you will notice, there's something that's different about them when I go in. They have found freedom in Christ, although they're still enslaved into a system. They broke man's law, and they are paying the penalty, which is time. They're serving time. Yet in prison, Jesus met them where they were, and they became free. You might be saying, well, Mike, everyone finds Jesus in prison. To a point, maybe that is true. But what I choose to look at, what are the changes that can happen in their lives? They took the temptation they experienced to the fullest extent, yet in prison, they found freedom. Hopefully this illustration helps us this morning to get a better understanding of what true freedom can be and how we can experience it in Jesus. But let's keep going this morning so we can go in a little bit better depth to get a glimpse of what that means. Point number two is this. Freedom comes in crucifixion. Now you might be thinking, okay, Mike, you almost lost me before, but you're really struggling with me now, but wait with me. If you go to Galatians 2:20, it says this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. So I live in this earthly holy body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have visited both potential spots in Israel and Jerusalem where Jesus was thought to have been crucified. I went to the place called, one of the sites is called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It's crowded with people whenever you go from all over the world. But the hard thing about me when I went to that location, it was hard for me to see it. But yet it's considered to be a holy site, this location. And I was struggling with that when I came out of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and there's actually four churches in that location of where they believe that Jesus was crucified. And there's such a mass amount of people, and in that mass is people shoving and pushing and trying to get a glimpse or touch the location of where Jesus might have been crucified. But yet there's another spot. This is the spot that they call the place of the skull. And you can see the skull face, half of it, still on the rock. It's covered up by the Muslim parking lot, and it looks, for me, more realistic. It was a place where people could walk by and see people who were crucified. The word that I would use, and oftentimes I don't use this word often, but when I looked at the picture and I looked at the place that where the parking lot covers half the place of the school, I would have to say it was a ghastly sight. It felt more authentic to me. But now, when I read Galatians 2:20, I realize that I'm saved by the faith in Christ. I choose to believe what the Bible says, and by doing in my choice of choosing truth, it sets me free. I believe with all that's within me, that Jesus died for me and he also died for you so that I now identify in the cross, because the cross signifies to me, yes, crucifixion, but it also signifies to me freedom. Just like when we see the American flag, we go by and we see the flag waving. It signifies to every American, whether you believe or you don't believe, that we walk around as free men and women in this nation. The cross for me does the same thing. It doesn't to the place, yes, we are to lay down our lives and take up the cross of Christ. But what it means is I identify in that cross in the freedom that Jesus gives to me. In my truck, I have a cross in my mirror. In my office, I also have a cross, and we have several crosses in our home. What I want in this is not to express of how holy I am. And a lot of times people, it depends on where you're going with it. But to me, it's remembering the price that was paid. My heart hurt in the place of the skull in Jerusalem of what Jesus had did. In Israel, the law is prevalent. The Jews, most of them, only read the Old Testament. They still follow the law. They are obedient to God, but don't recognize Jesus, and there is little you can do to change their minds. They walk in the bondage of the law, and not the freedom of Christ. So this is interesting. So I choose to respect their stand, although I don't agree with it. I can still be brothers and sisters with them, even though I don't agree with their thinking. And that's so important for us today, as we got so many different things, so many different religions that's going on. Can't we get to the point of really where we truly respect, even though we don't agree, but we can express the position that they hold? And I think that's the better way of enticing them to Christ, as to sit there and try to convince them that what they believe is wrong. We hope for that opportunity, but only in Christ can we find that freedom. Christians can do the same thing, I believe. It's all about doing as opposed to being. If I go to church, check. If I tithe and put an offering in the plate, check. If I'm a deacon or an elder, check. If I teach a Sunday school class or teach a small group, check. All these things are good, but the perspective is, if you're doing it out of doing as opposed to being what God has called you to do. When I'm crucified with Christ and understand that I want to be more like Jesus, and I die to Mike. Yes, I have a long way to go, but I don't quit. And I've chosen to realize that through failure, I choose to fail forward. And you have to think about that for a little bit. This past week, it's been a test for me. Frustrating moments with people, misunderstandings, angers, and for some, there were even tears. The rubber hits the road in Christianity when you have weeks like this. I could tell that the guys I work with were watching me. How is Mike going to handle this situation? I wish that I could say I flew through it with flying colors, but no, it was a tough week, and I fought through anger, and even to the point of wanting to quit. We all get there at times. So I stepped away from the situation, meaning we worked in another location, and I needed Christ's help in it. I was looking for freedom, meaning my hope is that I identify with him even in my weakness. You see, folks, being crucified is the whole bottle of wax of understanding what it is. That means you're good and you're bad. Your good days and your bad days. Either Jesus is Lord of all your life or he isn't. Jesus never quit when it got hard. Took the beating, took the cross, took the burial. He did all those things. There's no quitting for me. I will probably never truly experience anything like that. But once you have identity in Christ and you live for him all the days of your life, there's no turning back. And there's joy in the midst when tough days come and when good days as well. And that's why there's freedom in Jesus. Point number three is this: freedom in new life. If you go to Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says this: "For we died and were buried with Christ in baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live a new life." Folks, we share in Christ's resurrection power today. In Christ, we have eternal life, though we are not living in eternity yet. But we have eternity perspective. So here's my question. If we have freedom and new life, why aren't we living a better story? Do you want to live a better story or stay in the same one? I have found a good friend of mine who has seen, without a doubt, tough life. Been married twice, has lost a great business at one time, lives in a restored building. And from the outside, you would say his life, without a doubt, had been hard. This past year, this man went with us on one of our Vital Men motorcycle trips. He was a skeptic, guarded at best. He thought men and motorcycles only meant one or two things: drinking a lot, swearing, and even to the point of looking and chasing other women. But he went on this Vital motorcycle ride, this Vital Men's ride with us, and he experienced real men who love Jesus in a real way. We ride hard, we see great scenery, we laugh. We even have devotional each morning before we kick the kickstands up and go out. He couldn't believe that you could have a great time without getting smashed. Isn't that unbelievable? Now, I want to fast forward about this man's life. This man now attends faithfully Vital Men every week when we have it. He goes to church with his girlfriend. He reads his Bible. And he tells me that he prays with his girlfriend now. A new life is emerging in him. He even tells me how God is speaking with him and he's having these incredible moments with other people about their faith. This man is living a better story. And I think that's what God helps us to do, and we experience freedom with that. This only happens, folks, when you have an internal perspective. Living on earth is just practice. I want to say that again. When you have eternal perspective, living on earth is just practice. My son-in-law, who works with Every Home for Christ, oftentimes will go out and he travels a lot. And I love this young man. But his job is to speaking to young people, teenagers, about the love of Jesus and the freedom that they can experience in him. My son-in-law has, because of living a better story that he lives in his own life, he is now able to share living a better story with these young people. So they go out and they have these conferences and do these other things. But this is what I think that is so important. You know, folks, we so talk about that we want revival. And revival is a good perspective. It's a good thing to eager for. But if we go to revival, or we want to have that experience, but we don't realize transformation in our life, we've simply went and had a high. Nothing has occurred with it. Nothing has happened since then. I think about that so much as when the men that we had with Promise Keepers. It was great. It was an incredible moment, so I believe, that men stood. But the only problem that Promise Keepers found is that what happened with men is they would go to this event. They would go to this place of having revival. But the problem was they came back home, and within a month or two later, life started kicking hard on them. And for better words of saying, 6 days a week you experience hell, and you go on Sunday, and sometimes you're getting hit with the same thing right between their eyes, and all of a sudden they were losing their enthusiasm. No longer the high had left them, but the transformation wasn't continuing. That's one of the things that I really hope is we have this vital gathering on Sunday night that we experience. Not the revival comes. Yes, we want that, but we also even more eager for the presence of God Himself. But we truly want to have transformation, to have people who are changed lives. And we have when we have transformation, folks, when you experience that in your life, that is when you will find freedom within. That is the thing that I believe that we're all seeking. Yes, we want to live as free people. That's without a doubt. And folks, I want to be honest with you. As we head to 2020 and we jump back into the political arena, I tell you what, it's going to be tough times in my opinion because of how I think people talk to one another in the political arena and will not find the freedom that you're looking for. You will only find the freedom you are looking for is in Jesus Himself. So I encourage you this day, where are you looking for your freedom? Are you looking for freedom in a country? Are you looking for freedom within people around you? But are you truly looking that you can truly have freedom in Christ? That is the only place that I have found freedom within. Will you pray with me this morning? Jesus, again, we just want to thank you for another day, another opportunity to come and talk to you, to experience the freedom that you gave us through dying on a cross. I pray that maybe even there's somebody this morning that is driving or sitting at home or wherever their location there. There's people out there right now that are struggling with freedom. I pray that today is the day that they can find freedom in you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will ask them to pray a prayer and asking for forgiveness and for you, Jesus, to come and be in Savior of their life and believe and then live the transformation to live a better story. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that through your blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary, that we can truly have freedom in you. We thank you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Folks, I hope this is a nugget. This is a piece that gives you a word of encouragement, and you get a little bit of a glimpse of what freedom can be. Next week, we're going to talk about having freedom and the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited about this next week's teaching. You won't want to miss it. Thank you for listening. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.